We started off this kind of series of whatever, internalizing the word, quite some time ago. This is lesson six, or part six of it. I didn't know where I was going when we started into it. But you know, something I was thinking about, the fact of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit back in the eternity past, before there ever was a world. Before there ever was all that we see, the stars, the sun, the moon, all of that, before it ever began. And they had perfect unity. They didn't need anything, anyone, but they decided to create. And the interesting thing is, back then, I don't believe there was any such thing as time. Time began when he created the creation. Time began. And I can't help but feeling that, you know what? When we're all done here and we go over there, time again is going to cease and we're going to go back into eternity time. And I think that's going to be glorious. You know, we think about 1,000 years or about 1,000,000 years or whatever. I believe it's going to be really exciting. And I want to be a part of it. And you know, one of the things that we've learned, that we know, you didn't learn it from me. Anything I'm speaking to you is stuff that you know already. I'm just kind of trying to pull it together into a way of maybe better understanding it. This life that we live here, it's a journey. It is a preparation for eternity out there. You think, well, you know, it's only life, you know, we're just living here on this globe, you know, and everything, and one day we're going to go over to heaven, and that's great and everything. But I believe it's a whole lot bigger than that. I believe that God is doing stuff in our lives here that is going to affect us for eternity. And if you want to waste that, if you want to start out when you get to the other side, if you want to start out with not a very good position, maybe you made it just inside the door, the gates of heaven, and maybe you'll get to see Jesus, you know, way out there in the distance, because think about the millions and the millions and millions of people, billions of people that are going to be up there. And if you'd have followed the road that the Lord prepared for you down here, if you'd have followed that road, maybe you'd have been a whole lot closer to where Jesus is. And you would be so much, oh, you would have been so, it would be so exciting, and you would be so thankful that you persevered down here on this globe, that you pressed in down here into the things that he wanted you to do. And when I say you, I'm talking about me too. In fact, when I point my finger at you, I got at least three pointing back at me. So I'm thinking tonight, okay, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but their end thereof are the ways of death. It says that twice in Proverbs. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a road that's out here, and there's unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are following this road thinking that they're doing pretty good, that this is a good place, so we're doing okay, you know, but they're not really on the road. They're not really on the road. Some time back, I talked to you about tracks, you know, like a train. We're on this journey, on this train. And sometimes we might find ourselves, we're thinking we're up here on this set of tracks that's taking us where Jesus wants us to go. But we've brought in a lot of other stuff too in our lives. And in all reality, we're on another set of tracks. But we're thinking we're on this set of tracks. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on this set of tracks down here. I want to be on the tracks that is taking us the direction that God wants us to go in. So this way that seems right to a man, we don't want to be on that way. We don't want to be on that roadway. But we need to be on the place where God's plan for us to be. In the last session, we talked about moving out and following God's leading. Father, I pray tonight that you would quicken our hearts and quicken our understanding. I pray that you'd touch our ears to hear, Lord, what you are speaking to us. I pray tonight that you would give words of life that come from you. For the Spirit brings life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us life tonight and that you would accomplish your purpose tonight in Jesus' name. You know, just the fact that you are here tonight, you can look back at your beginning. You began over here. You're a little baby over here. And you can think about all that happened to your life. And could you have ever thought that you could look down and see where you're at today? No. Could you have planned this whole road that has brought you to here tonight? Did you know the road that you're walking on, the road that leads to glory, the road that God has prepared for you, the fact that you're here tonight demonstrates to me that you're on the right road. Now, we can go from there, but it's good for you to be here tonight. Since the Spirit wants to lead and direct our lives, the first thing we have to do is submit our lives to Him. How can He lead us if we're not willing to follow? How can He lead us if we don't really consider His leading that big a deal, that important? We think maybe the things that we want to do is maybe more important. You know, when I wake up in the morning, do I really want to do the will of God? Or I set my own plans and stuff in place? And as a result, miss out maybe on some of the things that God is leading me in. We need to check ourselves. We need to watch ourselves. We already know that the place He's taking us to and the thing that He wants us to do is impossible for us to do. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. You have to recognize that you cannot do what He's called us to do in your own strength. That's why you can get Matthew chapter 7 and it says, Lord, Lord, you know, we've done this, we've done that, we've done the other thing and everything. But Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I never had a relationship with you. So it's impossible to fulfill the role He's called us to do without our yielding and placing our trust in Him. And we don't even know what that is. We don't know where that road's taking us. We don't know where we're going. I remember the deal, I had a dream several years ago about being on this train. And my doctor came on with me. Well, he was Jesus, was the doctor. And we were headed down this track. And the Holy Spirit was the engine that was taking us along. It's exciting to be with Jesus. It's exciting to be with Jesus. But He was going to be taking me on my journey. He was going to be taking me through stuff. I would probably be deboarding maybe at times to do something, and then getting back on, and you know. But He was in charge of where I was going. And it's that way with each one of us. This road that we're walking on is a very important road. Because on this road, we're going to be learning stuff. We're going to be becoming more and more like Jesus. As we worship Him, as we get to know God better, we're going to find out that He is really exciting. He is really dynamic. And it's something that we can really look forward to. Hallelujah. And the interesting thing is that it's not by might or by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So you don't have to worry about whether you have the strength or the ability. Forget about that. He's the one that gives us the strength and the ability to do what we're called to do. Praise God. So as we step out and follow this road that He's prepared to us, I'd like to remind you of some things to internalize as we go along. Turn to your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, and by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You might think, well, I don't have everything. I don't know what I'm supposed to. I don't know, you know. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. He didn't just give us promises. He didn't just give us great promises. He gave us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to stop there just for a moment and think about that. When we're going on this journey through this world, on this road that we're traveling on, and we run up against an obstacle, or we run up against a problem, or we run up against sickness, or we run up against this or that or whatever, these great and precious promises are like a key that will unlock our problem and take care of that. It's something that you can count on. You can put it into your bank account. It's yours. Problem is, you have to know what it is. Okay, so I'm walking along here, and I run across somebody gets sick. Okay. So, what promise can I use? How about the one where Jesus said, by His stripes we were healed? In one part, one in the Old Testament, it says we are healed. In the New Testament, it says we were healed. Why is it where? Because it happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. So you take that promise and you apply it to your situation and you believe God for the answer. It's like a key. It unlocks the whole problem and takes care of it. It unlocks just exactly what you need at exactly the right time. And for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This idea of like precious faith, this faith is in a person. The person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the great physician who heals the heart from sickness of sin. He is the victorious conqueror who has defeated our enemies. Not will or maybe he might or something. No, he has defeated them already. Hallelujah. Satan is under his foot, and Satan can only do what he allows him. And when it comes to your life, Satan can't touch you any more than what God will allow him to touch you. And a lot of times that is for just building our faith. Because, you know, we grow when we run up against some issues and some trials and stuff like that. Okay? So this faith is in a person. And the interesting thing is he's the victorious conqueror who has defeated our enemies, sin, death, Satan, and hell, all of them. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. Hallelujah. And you are now given a place of right standing before God. And you know, what Jesus has done is brought us back into the place where God wanted all along. He wanted to have fellowship with man, but he couldn't have fellowship with man because of sin. There was an issue there that had to be taken care of. And Jesus was the one that came to take care of that. Hallelujah. And when that was done, when he came and paid the price, when he took all of our sins, he literally became sins and died on the cross for us so that we might have the righteousness of Christ and we could stand before God, a holy God, covered with the blood of Jesus and be in right standing before him. The sins and everything were all taken care of. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the great physician. Hallelujah. Grace. Talks about grace there. Is God's favor to the undeserving. God in his mercy does not give us what we deserve. God in his grace gives us what we don't deserve. Our God is the God of all grace. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:10. And he channels that grace through Jesus Christ. John 1:16. The result of this experience is peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Hallelujah. I like that. Not only have peace, but you have peace with God. And then because you have the peace of God, peace with God, he gives you the peace of God. Now, do you believe that God has peace? Do you think that this world and turmoil and everything has got him shook up? No way. No way. Hallelujah. So we have not only peace, but we have peace with God because of what Christ did for us. And we have the peace of God on our lives. It doesn't make any difference what we run up against, whatever problem that we go through, whatever difficulty, whatever trial is ahead of us. We can do it because we have the peace of God over our lives. Hallelujah. In fact, God's grace and peace are multiplied to us. Not added. No, they're multiplied to us as we walk with him and trust his promises. So the more we know God and his Son Jesus, the more grace and peace is multiplied to us. It comes from a relationship of our walking with him. Hallelujah. The closer we walk to him, the more we learn about him, the more he shares his life with us, we have more grace and peace. Hallelujah. Glory. I'd like us to look a little bit at Christ's journey. You know, he had a road too that he had to walk. Christ had a road that he walked. He came down here. There was a purpose for him coming. And when he came, he walked that road. Paul the Apostle had a road to walk, and he walked that road. No one did the walking his road better than Jesus did. He was the perfect one. He was the one that did not fail on anything, on doing what he was supposed to do. Let's look at him a little bit. He came to Nazareth one day, sat down, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. And he read a scripture there. It was the story of it is in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. They said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And it says, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Now that's what he was called to do. Their problem was he grew up with them. "You're Mary and Joseph's son. Who do you think you are?" And they wanted to haul them up the hill. They're going to push them off the cliff. I saw that cliff, by the way. I wouldn't want to fall off of it. But he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But his job, you see, that was the road that was laid out for him. "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now he said in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, he said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven and do not do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So Jesus is down here doing the will of the Father. He's not down here doing his own will. He's not doing his own thing. You know, if he was like some Christians today, or so-called Christians, he would be, "Well, I think this looks like a good thing to do. You know, I think we'll do this over here." By the way, I did look at that one movie, The Young Messiah. It's kind of way off. I let you know that. But he says, "This is the will of the Father that sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing." Did you know that God has some people he wants to bring across your pathway? Into your sphere of influence, my sphere of influence, God has some people out there. And the interesting thing to me is that God was ahead of Jesus. He was working in somebody's life, and then he was going to bring Jesus and this person together in a meeting. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's put us there. We're walking this road, and the Father is working ahead of us in somebody's life, and He's wanting to bring the two of us together, because He's going to give us something for that person. Can you believe that? So he came to do the will of the Father, and he said, "This is the will the Father has sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up the last day. John chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him even greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." So what's that saying? The Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does. Then he's out there ahead of us. He's out there ahead of me. He's out there ahead of you on this roadway. He's taking us to places that we have no idea where that is or where that's going. We're on this journey, and he is preparing. I'll be getting some more scriptures that go along with this. And what we need to be walking in the Spirit so that we will be listening to Him, that we will keep our ear tuned to Him. I've got to get some more scripture. Did you know that Jesus' road or walk was just to do what the Father showed Him to do? Nothing more, nothing less. That's all His road was. His road was to do exactly what He saw the Father doing. That was it. Our road is to do exactly what we see the Father doing. There's a book, Experiencing God. One of the things that I remember in that is that when you're praying and you see some inkling that maybe God's working over here, it's His invitation for you to join Him in the work. When you see, as we're walking along on this journey, and we see like a little inkling. It happened in my grandson's life when he was here. I sensed something there. And so I asked him, I said, "Do you mind if I talk to you about God?" You know, and so I just started sharing. Well, I sensed something. The Holy Spirit quickened me and said, and he was receiving that. And so that's what we need to be looking for, those opportunities, and be ready to step out and do them. So whatever he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him even greater works than these. Let's turn down to John 5, verses 36 to 40. It said, "I have a greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me to finish." You see, at some point, you will come to the end of your road. And you go on to be with the Lord. When David accomplished all the things that God had for him to accomplish, then he went with his fathers. Or went down to the good place that was down below them. So there's a road that you follow. There was a road that Jesus had to follow. And his job was to finish it. He had to go along until his job was done. I'm glad that we're not like some churches maybe that just like to sit back and come by, Lord, you know. It's like, I'm ready to go to heaven. You know, I'm tired of this old life that we're going through. Today I can feel that a little bit because I'm tired of some of the stuff I was doing today. But no, he doesn't do that. We're not going over to glory till we're done our road. And our road, He's got stuff for us to do along that road. And so the best thing that we can do is do what He wants us to do. The works that He has set out for us. We'll be coming up with that. Okay. John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why the Holy Spirit? Because it was going to take the Holy Spirit to empower them and to guide them, because Jesus wasn't going to be with them in body form anymore. It was going to be through the Holy Spirit. And he said, "As the Father called me, So I'm sending, as he sent me, I'm sending you out into the world. So we're not going out into the world on our own authority. We're going under His authority. We don't stand before the devil in our authority. No, we stand in His authority. And He gives us power and authority to do His will. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." He who does the will of my Father. How do you do the will of the Father? Follow that road. And listen and do what you're called to do. The places, and the thing is, there's places where only you can touch. There's lives that only you can touch because you're working with them, you're associating with them. They're part of your people that are around about you. I can't go and mess with Dave's people necessarily unless I just happen to be there because he's got a different group of people that's around him. But he can affect those people. It's like I can affect the people that are around me. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord, and He delights in His way. And I notice the word He there. Who is it? Who is He? He delights in His way. It's capitalized. So I assume that to be God. God delights in my way when I'm walking in it. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We can say, man, I make boo-boo sometimes. I fall, you know, and everything. No, he's right there to lift us up. He's right there to carry us on. He's right there to carry us on through to victory. Hallelujah. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. But the steps of a good man are ordered. His steps are a step, figuratively, it means companionship. Companionship. The steps, my steps, are companionship. Why is it companionship? Our steps are steps of companionship because He is walking this road with us. You know, we don't have to pray, God, come down, come down. No, He's within us. Why would we have to pray for Him to come down? He's already here. It's steps of companionship because He is walking this road with us. And even when we fall, He doesn't abandon us or forsake us because He upholds us with His hand. Can you imagine you're leading your little son along and he trips and stumbles? What are you going to do? Just leave him there? Oh, get up. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to reach down and grab him and lift him up. What do you think God does? He'll reach down, grab down, and pick you back up again. Get you on your feet so that you can continue to move on this road. Hallelujah. And then we look at the word way there. It's a road as trodden. Figuratively, it's a course of life or a mode of action. This road that we're walking on, it's a course of life or a mode of action. There's something that we have to do on this road. It becomes a way of life. I am walking on this road. It becomes a way of life. Day by day, by day, by day, by day, I'm walking this road. It's a way of life. It becomes a way of life. Hallelujah. Or a mode of action. And then Proverbs 20:24 says, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" If we're not walking with the Lord, we're walking our way. And if we're walking our way, we can't understand the way that God has for us. So we don't want to walk our way. We want to walk His way. Hallelujah. And this kind of goes along with Ephesians 2:10. Says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Will works get us to heaven? No. But when we're walking the road with Jesus, hallelujah, He's got works, there are works there, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's people we're going to be running into. There's situations we're going to face. Things that we're going to be doing for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When we're walking on this way, God Himself has prepared the way for us. He's prepared those things for us to do. Hallelujah. So if God's prepared them for us to do, we're not on this journey alone. If the God who created the universe and set the stars in place and created man to have fellowship with Him has ordained and prepared our journey, who can stop us other than ourselves? No one else out there can stop us, just ourselves. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I really believe that if God calls us to do something, that He will make a way. If you were a parent and felt like your child needed to go, maybe a particular school or something, whatever, you would make the way. You would make the provisions for it. You would cover it. Our Father will meet our needs. Not our wants, our needs. All of our needs according to His riches and glory. "So my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." And His riches, I think He's got quite a bit of riches. I think He has quite a bit of riches. And then on this journey, we'll probably hear something like this, Isaiah 30, verse 21. "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left." You know, there's a lot of, on these roads that we walk, you know, there's this road turns off over here, and a road turns off over there, and which way do we go? Well, okay, Lord, which way do I go? If I start going this way, the Lord will either confirm it or block it. Okay? He'll open the door or shut the door. Okay, well then, I'll go this way. I've had that happen so many times in life that, you know, you knew the general direction. You knew the general direction that God wanted you to go in. We've moved a few times, and it always hasn't been. It's been exciting, really, because we knew we had to move. We knew we were where we were supposed to be going, but we didn't know all the details. You find out the details as you're going along. As you're going along, you find out, oh, not this way. Oh, not here. Oh, there it is. You know, it's like God opens it up, and there you step into it. It just happens that way. And you'll hear that voice, or that word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. 1 Samuel 2:9. "He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail." So what do we got here? He will guard the feet of His saints. But the wicked, they're going to be silent in darkness. They don't know where they're going. The wicked out there doesn't know where they're going. They think they know. Oh, they're having fun out here in this world. They think they know where they're going. They don't know where they're going. They're walking in darkness. So it takes walking with the Lord to really know where you're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Hallelujah. How do you know you're saved? The Spirit's been given as a guarantee to us. Hallelujah. How do I know? The Holy Spirit lets me know I'm a child of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. I don't have to guess. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I have God with me. Because His Spirit confirms it. He just lets me know. And I know. Hallelujah. And somebody else out there, they could argue with you, and they could argue with you, and they could argue with you. How do you know? It's impossible for you to know. Yes, it is. I can know. I know. I don't have to. I don't care what you say. I know that I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's gonna charge us with something? I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. Who's gonna do it? He's the one that's put me in the place. Hallelujah. It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died for me. Hallelujah. And furthermore, is also written, risen, so that even, and is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, and yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, God, the three persons of God are the only ones that have not been created. So this covers everyone else. No other created thing. That would be the devil. He can't do you in. Someone out there in the world can't do you in. They're a created thing. They're a created thing. None of them can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. It's interesting that Paul could make that statement. He was the great apostle. But to me, who am less than the least of all his saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He's given us the power to come against those principalities. They think they run this place. They think that they're in total control here. They think they are. And it may seem like they are right now. We're believing that God's going to intervene. We're believing that God's going to intervene. He's going to shake this place here. We're believing that. And the devil out there cannot stop what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The intent that now the manifold wisdom of God that He gives to us might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And we can declare over those powers, you know, the victory of God. You are done here, Satan. Take your imps and go somewhere else. You're done. You're through here. God's in control. The kingdom of God has come down among us. Hallelujah. We pray the kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't just die and then go back up to heaven again. No, He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave with Him. Hallelujah. He wrestled. He beat the devil. He put the devil underfoot. Hallelujah. And so we need to step into that place and grab hold of that and apply it. Hallelujah. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The church of God, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar is kind of like a rod. It's kind of almost like you got a tent out here. Okay, we don't want the wind to blow it away. So what we do, we take a stake, a tent stake, and we pound it into the ground. And that keeps the wind from blowing it away. And that's kind of the idea it has here. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has the truth. Hallelujah. And we can stake ourselves on that. We can believe it. We can hang on to it. We cannot get blown off track. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Every one of you are ministers, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I don't know about you, but I want to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to finish my race in victory. I want to finish my race in such a way that it'll bring praise and glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love His appearing. Philippians 1, verse 21 to 25. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul was wrestling with this too. He was probably getting on in years and, you know, and I fought the good fight. And, you know, I would just love to go on over to be with the Lord. And I'm sure there's a lot of you would just feel the same way. I'd like to go on, be with the Lord. But, he said, it's more needful for you that I stay. In other words, on this road, there's people that we're going to be coming across yet, that we have to minister to, that we have to give a word of encouragement to, that we have to help, that we have to lift their hands up, that we have to heal, that we have to do these things. And it's more needful for them that we stay. and do the job. It's nice, yes, it's nice to think about going up to be with the Lord. You know, shortly after I got saved, I did have a dream that the rapture was taking place. It was like there's bricks all around me and everything, and I could see right through that. And I just started going up. Unfortunately, I woke up, and that was it. But I started going up. And I somehow feel like maybe the Lord could come, and I will go up in the rapture. It'd be by that means. I would love to go that way. I'm sure you would too. Solve a lot of problems like death, you know, and all those things. You know what I mean? Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And that's why we are still here. Our work isn't done yet. There's still a road ahead of us that we must travel with our Lord, for He is with us on this journey. And you know, I'm not talking about just individuals, but I'm talking church also. There's a road for this church to be going on. I believe this church is to have an impact in our community. And our individual callings that we have goes together and blends in with one another. It's like the body, okay? This finger here is a part of the body. And I really need it sometimes to hold on to something or, you know, to do something. And all of us are members of the body of Christ. We have our unique places that we belong and our unique callings. So this church is a collection of all of those ministries, all of those callings, and the whole thing works together as a church, as a body that fits together. What you do blesses me and helps me. Maybe what I do, hopefully, helps you, so, and vice versa. So we need to remember that. That's why we're still here. Our work is not yet done. There's still a road ahead of us that we must travel with our Lord. But we know that He's with us on this journey. Father, I thank You for Your word. And I pray, God, that You will help us, Lord, more and more to seek Your face, Lord, and to find out, Lord, exactly what You want us to do, where You want us to go. Help us, Lord, to walk in that. Lord, I pray that You'll just touch every heart here tonight. I know there's people who are weary. Pray that You'd touch their bodies. I know there's people in our church, Lord, that need a touch. Lord, right now, I pray that You'd reach forth Your hand and touch. On this journey that they're going through, they're running into some obstacles on the way. The devil's mad at us. Tough luck.